Awesome. Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Okay, today we're going to talk about risk. Not the board game, which is a great game. One of the hidden things about me is I love board games, but we're going to talk about risk. Now, most times when you hear the word risk, you think of all bad, right? And that's why this title page, I made that. It's pretty cool. It took me a long time, longer than it should have. Took a risk. No, but risk, you talk about like financial risk is bad, right? Like safety risk is bad. But today, I want to talk about how God views risk.
Good.
So I have a little activity for everybody, okay? So here's a question for y'all. I want you to think about this. Get the next slide, please, Whitney. What is the riskiest thing you've ever done that worked out?
Good.
I want you to think about it. Like 27. What's the riskiest thing you've ever done? It may be your husband or wife or boyfriend sitting next to you. It may be your children in children's church, right? It may be a financial investment. It may be coming to FSU or FAMU or TCC. I want you to think about it. What is the riskiest thing you've ever done that worked out? Everybody got one?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to give you a couple more seconds. All right. What is the riskiest thing you've ever done? And so here's the big idea today. Is that God wants us to take risks. Mm-hmm. This slide took me like 30 minutes to make. So I had to literally stack those brush strokes. Anyway, God wants us to take risks. God wants us to take risks. And you guys have probably heard the old quote, how do you spell risk? F-A-I-T-H, right? A lot of churches talk about that. How do you spell risk? Faith. It's faith. But I think it's deeper than that. There's a lot more nuanced concepts to the concept of risk. Okay, so I got three quotes for you. Okay, the first quote. It's my favorite TV show. You will always miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. Season 5, episode 23 of The Office. And it's true, Wayne Gretzky was the NHL player. He said, listen, if you don't shoot the puck, you're going to miss. You're guaranteed not to make it, right? And this is so true in life.
Right.
You'll always miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Now, The Office is my very favorite TV show. I've probably seen every episode 4 times. And my wife and I are watching it a 5th time right now. So we love The Office. Is it godly? No, not really. Okay, next quote. Now, this is not Colonel Sanders from KFC. This is Mark Twain. He said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the things you did.
Good.
So throw off the bowlines, sail from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great quote. He said, you will be more disappointed in your life by the things that you didn't do than the things that you did do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, take like 10 seconds. Think about something in your life that looking back, you wish you did. What's something that you wish you did do, but you didn't do? Maybe it was, you know, invest in Tesla when they first came out, right? You know, or save more money, or maybe it was a different degree, right? Or maybe it's, you know, I wish I didn't party as much in college, or I wish I didn't do this, or I wish I ate healthy and worked out my entire life. You know what I mean? There's certain things we wish that we did. And here's a great quote, last quote. Shoot or Shoot by Ronnie Can't Guard Me Miller. Now this is our senior pastor, and he was a prolific shooter. And this is him at Mercer before he went to Florida State. And this changed my life when he told me, shooters shoot. You can't make it unless you shoot. And listen, if your shorts are longer than that, what are we doing here? What are you doing? It's just a waste of fabric if your shorts are longer than that. So shoot or shoot. And it's true though, right? And in basketball especially, people like shooters, you don't know if you're a good shooter until you shoot the ball, right? And the best shooters in the NBA, they shoot like 40% from the three-point line. So they miss 60% of their shots, right? So to be a shooter, You have to shoot. You have to take risks, and you actually have to miss shots too. Risk is very important. You don't score any points unless you shoot. I thought Pastor Ron would be here today, but he had his son's baseball game that got moved up. Ronnie can't guard me, Miller. Okay. So I want to jump into the Bible, and I'm sure some of you have heard this parable before from Jesus. It's called the parable of the talents or the parable of the gold bags, but this is actually a parable on risk. And I never really picked that up until recently when I was studying risk, what the Bible says about taking risks, shooting shots, and taking opportunities. But let's go through this today. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, or 5 bags of gold, to another 2, and to another 1. To each one according to his ability. Okay, so here's the picture. You have this really awesome person, this master, right? He's got these employees, these servants that work for him. And he's so generous, he gives them money. He says, hey, you get 5 bags, you get 2 bags, you get 1 bag, right? And he says, guess what? I understand your ability, so I'm going to give you according to your ability, right? Aren't you glad the Lord gives us according to our ability, yeah. Right? And so that's very important to understand. The Master, God, gives us according to our ability, right? And guess what? Life is not fair, because I look at my life, I'm like, you know what? I'm probably a 1-bag or a 2-bag guy, right? Elon Musk is a 5-bag guy. But the Lord gave, or the Master gave, according to their ability. And then he went away. Verse 16. He who received the 5 talents... or 5 bags of gold, went at once and traded with them. He made 5 more. So now he's got 10. So also, he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. Now he has 4. But he who received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5, I have made you 5 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Okay, so here's the master, gives free money to this guy. This guy gets to use his talents according to his ability. He makes double. He has a great life. The master comes back, says, you did awesome. Good work. I'm going to give you more. Right? Could you imagine if somebody came up to you and said, I believe in you so much. What's your best business idea? I'm going to give you $500,000. Go do it. Wow. You wouldn't be like, you're evil. You're mean. You want me to perform for you. No, you'd be like, thank you. Like, you imagine if somebody invested in you, right? So this master is great. And then when you do good with your business, then they say, guess what? We're going to put in $3 million now, and I want you to oversee 3 companies, right? So the master is generous. He's great. 22. And he also, who had 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Same response, right? Good master. I gave you 2. You did awesome. I'm going to give you more. Congratulations. Good job. You did really, really good. This is a good master. Verse 24. He also, who had received the 1 talent, remember the guy who buried his gold, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Now imagine if you're the other 2 servants, if you're the one with 5 and 2, you're looking at the 3rd guy with 1, you're like, do you see the same master that I see? He's like the most generous, funding, like he's awesome. What do you mean he's harsh? Like, what are you talking about? Right? And so they're probably like, what are you doing? Like, you got this guy all wrong. 25. So I was afraid and went my hidden talent, or hid my talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful or lazy servant. You knew that I would reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have at least invested my money with the bank, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interests. So taking the talent from him, he gave it to the man with 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which that phraseology is also referred to as hell, a place where there's sadness and anger. Hell. Okay, so you see here the two good servants who understood, hey, my master is generous, right? What did they do with the money? They took risks. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been given or had like a little bit of money and you have to like make it into more? You have to invest it. There's a risk. Yep. There's always a risk. You know the guy with 5 talents? He had a much bigger risk than the guy with 1 talent. Mm-hmm. Okay, you guys getting this? If I gave you $1 million to invest, that's a lot of risk. A lot can go wrong. If I give you $10,000, that's risk, but it's not as big a deal, right? So the guy with 5 talents, it's not, oh, it's unfair, he got 5, he got 1. It's no, he got more responsibility, he had more pressure, and the risk was far greater for the man with 5. So the guy with 5 and the guy with 2 who made a return, the master treated them generously, right? But the man over here, he looked at the master as mean, as cruel, as selfish, as angry, right? And guess what? The master behaved the way the servant thought he would behave. Okay. So the way we look at God is the way we will take risks. That's a really good point. Okay? I mean, let's break this down. Okay? If we look at God as someone who's sitting there waiting to catch us in sin, waiting us for backslide, waiting for to get us, to send us to hell, like waiting, you know, we're not going to do anything with our lives, right? But if we see God as generous, as loving, as wonderful, right, we can live our life freely and we can be shooters who shoot.
Right.
We can risk it for the biscuit, okay? I prefer risk it for the brisket, but you know what I'm saying, right? Okay, so who took more risk? Who took more risk? The man with 5 or the man with 1? Definitely the man with 5, right? And I don't know if you've ever talked to a business person who, you know, who owns a company or has a lot of responsibility and pressure, but there was this man I was talking to, and he said he has 60 employees, and he has to wake up every morning knowing that if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, 60 people are going to be out of work. That's a lot of pressure, right? And so you see in this world that people who are not afraid of risk, taking good risks, actually do really well in life, right? The same thing is true with our relationship with Jesus. Are we willing to take risks? And I think the biggest thing that keeps us from taking risks is a fear of rejection or a fear of failure. Okay, whoever... Yeah, you do not have to put your hands up. You can if you want to. Whoever, before you loved Jesus, before you changed your life, were in a situation, party, maybe, at a social event, and you saw someone that you were attracted to. And you thought to yourself, what would happen if I just went over there and started talking to him? Right? Or what? Or you started to think, like, what's a good pickup line that I could use, right? Maybe guys think like this, right? But I remember in college, I would be like, literally like, okay, she's out of my league. What can I possibly go say, right? What, you know, and so we think about risk, taking a risk. You know, what can I do, you know? And it's funny, the thing that keeps you from taking a lot of these risks, and that's a terrible risk, by the way. You want to wait for, that's awful. You want to wait for the Lord's one. But, you know, the thing that keeps you from taking a big risk, from investing that money, from talking to that person, from pursuing that career, right? The thing that stops you from taking risk is a fear of rejection.
Right.
Or fear will keep you from it. Right? And so I have five thoughts on risk, and then we'll be done. So number one, godly risk is never reckless. Okay, so what I do not want you to do today is take all your money out of the bank, fly to Vegas, and put it all on red. I do not want you to do that. That is not what we're talking about. God does not like that, okay? Risk is never reckless. Never reckless. And sometimes, risk is not always stepping out. Sometimes risk is staying where you are. Let me give you an example. If you're young and single, right? Risk is not going to a bar and hitting on someone. Risk is saying, all my friends are doing that. I'm going to risk it and stay holy and pure and trust that God will bring me the right person.
Good.
See, that's a risk too. That's a massive social risk, right? Sometimes you risk it by saying, you know what? I'm not going to feed my flesh today. I'm going to read my Bible today. But risk is never reckless, right? Taking a risk that God wants you to take is always a good idea. It's never reckless. Never. Never. Number two, God likes risk. God loves risk. If y'all have read the Bible at all, any story of the Bible, every single major character takes a massive risk. Every single one, right? From Moses to Abraham. I mean, can you imagine being Mary, the mother of Jesus, and saying, I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to tell people that I'm a virgin, this is a virgin birth, right? Can you imagine, you know, being King David and having to take all the risks that he took? Like, the Bible is full of taking risks, right? Even Jesus, well, actually, that's Jesus didn't really take any risks. He already knew, but you know what I'm trying to say. But God loves risks. God always has us take a calculated risk. And he's really, I think, trying to test, how do you view me? Mm-hmm. How do you view me? Do you see me as the evil person who's looking to catch you or send a curse on you if you don't obey me? Or am I the loving Father that loves you and made you and gave you everything that you have, and I want you to enjoy and be free? I've invested in you. Go do something great, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
God loves risks. He loves risks. He really does. And number three, this is really the main point of the sermon. How we view God dictates the risks that we take. How you view God dictates the risks that we take. How you view God dictates the risk that you take. And I think the devil has done a really, really good job of flipping places with how we view him and the Lord. Let me explain. So let me describe a person. You tell me if this is God or the devil. Watching you, waiting to condemn you, waiting for you to slip up, waiting for you to mess up, waiting for you to do the wrong thing, wanting you to hear exactly what to do and not doing anything else, living in fear. Who's that sound like?
The devil.
The devil, right? Okay, let's just, like we all said together, the devil.
The devil.
The devil. Come on, guys. Wake up. Let's go. Come on. All right? I can see you. I can see you. The devil. All right? Okay. Now, who does this sound like? I love you. I made you. I see your heart. I see your intentions. I know you're going to make mistakes. I died for you, and I want you to take risks for me because it brings me glory. Sounds like God, right?
Yes.
Okay. But why do we live in this, oh, I don't know what's supposed to do. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever been just lost in decision-making? Like, what am I supposed to do here?
Right.
Should I do this or should I do this, right? There's so many options, and we get this paralysis of the analysis. We're like, I don't know what to do, right? Or should I date this person? Should I not? Should I take this? You know, should I go here? I don't know about y'all, but like, I sometimes really struggle with decisions. And I have to look back and say, you know what? God loves me as long as my heart intention is to please him and not be selfish. I know God is going to bless whatever risk that I take.
Good.
He's going to bless it. All right, our next verse, 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Bless you. So he's telling David's telling his son Solomon, be strong. Why? Because God is with you. And God knows you're going to take a risk. God knows there's opportunity for failure. God knows you're afraid, right? But guess what? God is with you. And because God is with you, if you view God the right way, you can step out like Peter did. Step out of the boat onto the waves and walk on water. Good. How do you view Jesus? How do you view God? Number four, risk equals reward. I was reading a book actually this morning, and it talked about how people in my generation and younger, a lot of times we can be very bold in some things, but also very risk averse at the same time. Like we want to like do something mighty and courageous and change the world, but I will never do that if there's a chance of failure, right? Like I won't take a job to build up to the next job. Like I need my dream job right now. Right, I'm not willing to work 15 years for my job. I want my dream job now, right? And so, but we have to understand that there is no reward without risk. There's no reward without risk, right? When a shooter shoots, you can make it. But if you never take that shot, you can never make the bucket, right? Risk brings reward. Risk brings reward. And I remember, you know, 4 years ago, gosh, time has flown, when I moved here to Tallahassee, and some of y'all know the story, but I took a massive risk. It was huge. I swear, in the entire city, I knew Pastor Ron, the guy with the short shorts you saw, his family, and I knew the Bennetts. That was it. That was the only people I knew in the entire city. Right? And the Lord told me, he said, Ben, leave your job as a regional director in Houston, leave your small group, leave your friends, leave your church, leave it all, and I want you to move to Tallahassee and start a campus ministry. Right? And so listen, everything in me was like, nope, nope, nope. Right? Tallahassee's okay, but like it's not like, you know, it's not super duper great. You know what I mean? Houston's awesome, right? And so, so there was so much risk involved. And I was single at the time. My family did not live here at all, right? They were in Orlando, and they're all in Orlando at that time. And Rachel was in Oklahoma. And I remember when I moved here, I took a massive risk, massive. And then I was packing up all my furniture to go, and the Lord told me, he said, leave all your furniture. I said, what? Come on, Lord. And so I got this big U-Haul, and literally it was just really shallow, just one layer of boxes. I left all my furniture, my bed, everything. And I stayed at the Bennett's house for 8 months in their spare bedroom. 8 months. That's a risk. I mean, some of y'all won't, like, y'all have these standards that are so high. You guys, you know, anyway. The point is, like, I was like, I'll take a risk. You know, I'm young, I'm single, I can do it. I took a risk. And I cannot tell you how much reward has come from that. I met my beautiful wife, bought my first home, have my first baby, right? And we have a thriving campus ministry, right? You know, come on, it's awesome. You guys are real quiet this morning. I wish y'all could see us Thursday night. We were laughing and having a great time. This morning, they're just looking at me like, it's okay. But look what God is doing. Like, the risk has equaled so much reward. My mom and dad moved here. My grandma moved here. All three of my sisters moved here, right? And I took a risk, and the reward has been unbelievable. Like, I don't even want to think about my life if I stayed in Houston, right? There was so much reward, but it was right behind a risk. Not a risk that I made up, but a godly risk. And that's very important. Don't take random risks, right? Take godly risks when God calls you to do something, right? Ecclesiastes 11, 1 through 6. It says, ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you will receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at the evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Now, Solomon is talking business, but what is he saying? Shoot or shoot. Diversify. Go do stuff. Try it out. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at the trees. Just do it. Plant seeds. Sow. Work hard. Do what you're supposed to do. Why? Because risk always equals reward. Even if you fail, the character you develop is a massive reward. Do you know, probably the number one lesson I learned from playing football in college for 5 years was not that, hey, guess what? You can win and you can do this. It was how to fail, look myself in the mirror, get laughed at by every single player on the team, get cursed out by my coaches, and get up and try again. That was the best lesson. Why? Because I learned that I was getting formed, that when I was failing, I still had to keep stepping out, taking a risk, taking a risk, taking a risk. And guess what? It finally ended up in rewards. Not just winning, but character rewards were built in me, right? Now, when failure hits me, I'm like, yeah, I'm used to failure, right? It's okay. I'm one risk away from a massive reward. One risk away from a massive award. Thomas Edison said, you know, I didn't fail to make the light bulb 2,000 times. I just found 2,000 ways not to make a light bulb, right? So that's the perspective we have to have, is shoot or shoot. Just keep shooting. Just keep trying. Taking risk. I trust God. God is good. He's not going to leave me here. I can take a risk. You know what? I can take a risk. I can read my Bible. I can say no to sin. You know what? I can study hard for class. I can say no to that party. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it, right? I can spank my kids. I can do what I need to do. I can take a risk. You know what I mean? Take a risk. Oh, yeah, we're going there. Okay. Last one, point five. Risk many times involves commitment and hard work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so we like to think, at least I do, of like, you know, an old Western movie, right? Where like the bad guys have come into the town and they've taken over. And then here comes the cowboy, right? And he comes out and he challenges the bad guy. He takes a risk and he boom, boom, he beats everybody, right? And he saves the day and he saves all the women and children and they love him and he's the hero, right? He took a risk and it paid off, right? Honestly, a lot of times taking a risk is saying, okay, I'm going to join the cleaning team for church and I'm going to risk my Friday mornings and for 2 hours every week, I'm going to clean. That's a massive risk. Or it's not just, hey, you know what, I see an attractive person, I'm gonna go shoot my shot, I'm gonna go talk to them, and hopefully like it works out. It's, no, God told me not to marry this, you know, whatever person, but this really godly person, and I realize that now when I date and get married, I'm gonna have to stick with them through thick and thin for the rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
That's taking a risk. Taking a risk is a lot of times commitment and hard work, right? Anybody can just take a random shot at something, but to really say, you know what, I'm going to give it my all for life, that's a massive risk. It's a massive risk, and those are the ones that God wants us to take. Will you trust me in your devotional life? Will you trust me with your relationships? Will you trust me with your career? Right? If I make you work at Krispy Kremes for 5 years to get all that entitlement out of you, will you trust me?
Uh-huh.
And then I give you the job you want, right? If I keep you single for 8 years to get all that selfishness and lust out of you, will you trust me? Will you take that risk? Right? And then I'll bring the perfect partner for you, right? And some of us aren't willing to do that, but it's a risk. Are you willing to be laughed at by your friends in the short term to be respected by them long term? Right? And a lot of us aren't. We're not willing to take these risks. And God, for each one of us, individually has risks for us to take. And guess what? Failure is right there. And sometimes you're going to fail and having to keep risking, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Risk many times involves commitment and hard work. But honestly, anything worthwhile in life takes commitment and hard work.
Right.
Having a family, getting married, starting a business, being part of a church, it takes commitment and hard work. Friendships, relationships take so much risk, right? Now, here's another exercise. I want you to realistically think, if you left Tallahassee tomorrow and moved, and we're never going to come back, who in this room would you stay in contact with your whole life? Not just, oh yeah, we need to connect, or oh yeah, we'll call. But no, like seriously, who would you actually stay in contact with? Right? For some of us, it's actually not many. And part of it, we've never taken a risk of friendship. We've never saying, I will let down my walls, I will really connect with you, I will be vulnerable with you, because I want to build something with you.
Good.
You know, even the way that you grow closer as friends is you take risks together. That is like the best way to make friends, right? Yeah, anyway, we'll go there. But yeah, you just got to take risks, do stuff. What would your life be like if you treated God as a rewarder of risk-taking? Rather than a punisher of those who make mistakes, right? What if you said, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm a shooter, I'm gonna shoot, whatever it is, whatever it is. Literally, you know, I go on campus a couple days a week to evangelize, and I never have felt like doing it ever, not one time, not one time. And I will, you know, you'll be walking like with a student or just by yourself, and the Holy Spirit tells you, hey, go talk to that person. Never am I like, yeah, that's what I want to do, right? But I always, in the back of my mind, have to say, God, you reward risk, shooter, shoot, shooter, shoot, shooter, shoot. I'm a shooter, bang, bang, let's go, right? That was in my head, so anyway. But the point is, you got to go. Take the shot. Okay, so, but there's things in our life where we have to have this mentality. I don't want to do it, but God's called me to it.
Yeah.
I got to do it. I got to take a risk. I got to step out. I got to get uncomfortable. Got to get uncomfortable. Last quote. Every society honors its live or living conformists, people who conform to society, and its dead troublemakers, right? History loves people in the past who took risks, but they hate people in the present that take risks. Society wants you to shut up and get in line, right? But God says, no, I've called you to take risks. I've called you to be like Daniel in the lion's den. I've called you to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've called you to take a risk, to stand up for something, right? And history will remember those who say, you know what? I'm not going to be a conformist. I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to be a troublemaker and do what I know I need to do. Okay?
Yes.
Sound good?
Yes.
All right, just to go over the five one more time. Godly risks. Risk is never reckless. God likes, he actually loves risk. How we view God dictates the risks we take. Risk always equals reward. Whether it's monetary, character, whatever, it always gives us reward. And five, risk many times involves commitment and hard work, probably every time, right? Like even, there's a great proverb, and I'll close with this. There's a great proverb that says, wealth that comes speedily will lead to ruin. Okay, and so I was like thinking about this, like, what does that mean? And there's a study that every big lotto jackpot winner, like 90% of them end up bankrupt in like 3 years. Okay, and this is why. Because having the wealth, the reward is not the problem. It's do you have the character that is built on risk and hard work and overcoming failure to manage the reward,
right?
Right? So yes, I believe God does want to bless us. I really do. If he does not want to bless us, then no, he does. He wants to bless us. I don't know where I was going with that, but he wants to bless us. But God doesn't just want to give us reward. He wants to, through risk, through godly risk, he wants to build in us the character that we need to handle the blessings, to handle the reward, right? So that's why Gene with seven kids, your reward is going to be massive. Yeah. You have eight kids, you're going to get eight more, right? Bags of gold. Praise God. You know? So anyway, we'll close with that. So Rachel, do you want to join me? Or, yeah, I guess Rachel, you're up. Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's pray. Lord, we love you. Father, we thank you for the word today. Lord, I pray that you would just convict us all individually, Lord. Lord, only you know deep down in our hearts where we have not been taking a risk for you. And Lord, you know when we've been reckless, you know when we've taken risks in the past, and Lord, you know when we've been hurt by stepping out in faith and taking a risk, you know when you've seen it, Lord, and I pray that first, Lord, you would forgive us, Lord, for not taking godly risks. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for not viewing you in the right way. Lord, by seeing you as a punisher, not a rewarder. And Lord, I pray that you would heal us, Father, that you would heal all the failures and rejections that we've felt, Lord, because we've all felt that. And I pray that you would heal us so that we can try and step out in faith again. And Lord, I really feel, Lord, that this sermon today is not a beat you up sermon, but it's a really, hey, like I want you to take more risks. I want you to trust me, and I want to reward you. And so I really feel the Lord wants to heal us and wants to encourage us to step out in faith, not to beat us up, but to encourage us. And so Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just encourage us all today, Father, that you would love us, that you do love us, but that you would that we would feel your love and that we would have the courage to step out in faith. And Lord, I pray for big ideas in this church. Lord, I pray for godly ambition to take big steps of faith, Lord, to start companies and start organizations and start relationships and buy homes and advance the kingdom of God and evangelize to people and disciple people and make new friendships and join serving teams. But Lord, I pray that this would be a house where there is godly risk that we take. Lord, I pray that we would grow as we trust you. Lord, I pray that there would be so much growth because we are willing to say, God, we trust you, not our circumstances. We trust you, not our feelings. So Jesus, we pray all this in your wonderful name, and we bless you, and we say thank you so much for letting us come and honor you with the church service. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would like prayer for